All right, Acts in chapter number 26 in your Bible, Acts in chapter number 26. Thank you so much for being out here and on a Monday night. I know it's a sacrifice to be here. Praise the Lord for your willingness to be under the ministry of the Word of God in a local church. And thank you, preacher, for the opportunity to be here tonight. It's a humbling experience to be at this pulpit. I think of all that Muguanago Baptist Church means to me is I did think I saw my picture in one of those. Slides back there. You say, well, Mr. Weber, I thought you didn't get saved till you're older. I didn't know you were at Muguanago Baptist Church. Well, when I was a youngster, my aunt and uncle took interest in me and my little brother, and I think even my sister on occasion or two, and brought us out to Muguanago Baptist Church, the Vacation Bible Schools, and that's where God began to deal in our lives and used the ministry of the Word of God in the local church. And because of that working in our lives and because of what this church has done in my aunt and uncle's life. My sister got saved at 18. I got saved at 28. And praise the Lord for what he's doing in our family. And we're excited about that. So thank you for having a part in my salvation. And it's so good to see you folks and a blessing to be here. Let's pray and then we'll get started. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to be here and to preach the Word of God, and just pray that your power would be on our time tonight. Would you just make truth clear tonight for us? I've got nothing to offer these dear folks, but you've got so much you want to share with them, and I pray that you would just open our hearts tonight, deliver us from the burdens of the world that are all around us, the burdens of the home and the burdens of life. And would you just quiet our hearts before you tonight? And Lord, would you just speak to us very clearly? Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter number 26, if you find your place there, we're going to read one verse, and then we'll get into our message there. Verse number 19, if you have it there. Verse number 19, Acts chapter 26. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. We see the Apostle Paul there giving testimony of his meeting with God, and he was excited about what God did in his heart, and he was wanting to go forward and to see God do what he had spoke to him about. And I really, as we think about going forward for the next 35 years, and I guess it's just, you know, it amazes me that I'm here tonight and that I get this opportunity to be a mouthpiece for the Lord. I don't deserve this opportunity, but I just want to share with you what's on my heart tonight. And I believe the Lord has something special for us. Not just you, but, you know, for all believers in the next 35 years. And I think it has to do with getting alone with God and getting God's heart and his vision for how he wants to use each and every one of us individually. And he's got a great vision for this community, and he's got a great vision for each and every one of us. So tonight, our thought tonight is to talk about a heavenly vision. That's if we're going to give a title to our time tonight. We're going to talk about a heavenly vision. And I want you to think this way. You know, the pastor has a great responsibility as he ministers to this local church and in this local church and to this body. He has the great responsibility of getting from God the direction that God has for this assembly of people. You know, it's God's plan and God's vision for this church. I hope you understand that. He has a great responsibility to seek God's face for where God wants to take this church. In the same respects, as we work our way down the ranks of societal living in our churches, mom and dads have a great responsibility, specifically dads as they stand before the Lord, for how God wants to lead their family.
That's right.
And God has a specific vision that he's trying to give to dads and to moms for where he wants their vision, for their family to go and their children. And tonight we're going to talk about individually. We're not going to necessarily say, you know, this is just for dads and just for moms. We're going to say this is for everybody because God has a plan for each and every single one of us. And I think that's a big deal that God has a heavenly vision, not just for you in this church, but for everybody. For everybody. So let's look at first, a heavenly vision has a purpose. It has a purpose. In verse number 26 here in our passage, we'll see that the Lord Jesus is speaking to the Apostle Paul here as he's recounting his testimony from Acts chapter 9, and he says, "But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." For this purpose. A heavenly vision answers this question. It says, what is my purpose on earth as a Christian? What am I doing here? What am I doing here? When I got saved, It was March 24th, 2006. I was kneeling next to my bed. I was on the downward spiral of a very wicked, drug-filled life, a life of just complete absence of God. And down on my knees that day, bitter and angry because my mom and dad were divorced when I was young, and I didn't get the kind of life that I should have gotten. And, you know, dad lived far away and he never came home. And as a young boy, all I wanted was my dad. And on that day, I knelt down next to my bed after my sister opened up the Bible on the phone. I was on the phone. God can even use phones to get to people. Amen. And my sister shared the gospel with me. And I knelt down next to my bed there and I cried out for Jesus to wash away my sins. And you know what he did? He washed away every one of them because that's his promise. And when I was down on my knees, it just made sense. You know, Jesus, if you can wash away my sins and take me to heaven, then I believe you can take away all my addictions. I mean, I had 10 years of drug addictions, heroin, and you name it. It was all bad stuff. The kind of stuff that the doctor says you'll never in your life ever walk away from. And I'll tell you, on my knees that day, when I asked Jesus to wash away my sins and take me to heaven, and then I said, Jesus, I'm going to give you the rest of my life if you take away these sins. Or take away these addictions. And God wasn't looking to make any deals with this guy right here, but he was being merciful to me. And you know what he did? He took away all my addictions. And I'm telling you, it wasn't this big, long 12-step process. It was a moment of belief, a moment of faith, the God dependence on Jesus Christ. I got off my knees that day, not only forgiven, but completely free. Because God had a purpose for my life. He had a purpose for my life. You know, I've always heard the phrase, and I love it. You know, I'm a bow hunter by desire. I love bow hunting. And, you know, I know this to be true because I've done it a lot. If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. I remember a time when I was hunting. My first buck came across in front of me. I was using Grandpa Glass's old 16-gauge shotgun. And I was so nervous. I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but your first buck comes out and you can't really... And I'm looking at the deer, but I am not aiming at all. I shot 5 times and missed that thing clean every time. Okay? If you aim for nothing, you'll miss it. You'll hit it every time. Okay? And the heavenly vision, it has a purpose. God is not sending us wild out into the world today. He's not sending us willy-nilly out to do whatever we want. He wants us to understand this heavenly vision, this vision that he's giving us for our life. He wants you to know that there's a specific purpose. He's got a specific purpose for all of us here tonight. In Acts 9, chapter 15, the Lord said was talking there, and he said that they said that the Apostle Paul was a chosen vessel. You know the reason why I love that phrase? It's because it shows that God took interest in a life. That there was something specific about the Apostle Paul, about Saul, that God saw great something wonderful in. Yeah, I can relate to that because, just like the Apostle Paul, I was in all sense of reality, I was a worthless person on the face of the earth. But when the gaze of God fell upon my life, I all of a sudden became a chosen vessel, something special, the apple of God's eye. And what I'm saying here tonight is that God has chosen all of us for something specific. A vision that God has for each and every one of us. You know, Satan might stand around and whisper in your ear, you're worthless. You're not going to amount to anything. You know, you just sit there and warm the pews and you'll just be just fine. You don't have to, don't have to surrender your life. You don't have to worry about hearing from God. You got saved and that's all you need. And I'm telling you tonight, that's not true. You're missing out on the greatest part of the Christian life. You're missing out on the part of the Christian life of this interaction with the God of heaven who's got something special for you. He's got a special love that he wants to pour out on you, a special blessing that he wants to give you. It doesn't matter what your background is. You can come from the drug houses of Milwaukee, and God can raise you up to be one of the greatest preachers in the world. You can come from the traditions of the world's religions bound up, and God can raise you up to be like the Apostle Paul because God has a plan. We were flying in from Cambodia, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm thinking, man, we're at like 36,000 feet. I can't see nothing down there. You can't see, you can't make out people, you can't make out nothing. And I think God in heaven, from the throne of heaven, looks down and he sees a guy like me. Wow. And he sees a church like this. And he sees a people like you. And you're not discounted in his eyes. You're special. He sent his son to die for you. He's got a specific purpose. A heavenly vision. Isn't it wonderful? God says he's choice people. A royal priesthood. Oh, wow, wonderful stuff. Acts chapter 22, the Apostle Paul again recounting his testimony, telling people what God has done for him. And he talks in verse 14 that God was revealing, God was telling him that he should know his will. Not just that he was a specific chosen person for this specific cause, but that this will, this purpose that God had for him was to be revealed. You know, God's not hiding his will from any of us. Listen, young person, if you're struggling to find God's will, chances are you're not going to God for it. God's not looking to hide anything from us. God's not looking to send you on some rabbit trail so you can give up and get discouraged. God is looking to encourage you. He's looking to reveal truth. He is light. And if your path is dark, it's because you're not walking with him who is light. God is not looking to hide his will. It's a specific purpose, direction in our life. He's looking to reveal it. And vision, I like this thought here. Vision is being able not only to see, but to know where you're going. God wants you to know where you're going, church. He doesn't want us to be out there all willy-nilly. A heavenly vision will reveal a specific purpose, but a heavenly vision will let you know how to accomplish that purpose. In verse 16, here in Acts chapter 26, sorry, we're going to bounce around. I love the Apostle Paul's testimony. I think it's a great thing, you know, your testimony. It's great to use it everywhere you go. Tell people about what Jesus did in your life. I don't know, it works. You should share your testimony as much as you can. Verse 26, "But rise, stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen of those things which I will appear unto thee." Acts 26:16 gives us exactly the Apostle Paul, what God was telling him he's going to do. He's going to be a minister. You know what a minister is? A minister is somebody who serves. It's like a servant. That's what that is. A servant. Somebody who serves the people around them on God's behalf. Do you know that's what God's calling all of us to do today? If you're struggling with maybe this very specific detail of your life, exactly where you need to be going, there's a great place to find God's will. It's right here. There's always work to do for God right here in your local church. Maybe God's not sending you out into a preaching ministry or, you know, into a missions ministry or anything like that. But friend, listen to me today. You can know God's revealed will. It's right here in the local church. God wants all his people in the local church serving one another. Serving one another, ministering to one another on Jesus' behalf. He said also not only to be a minister, but also a witness, a herald of truth, going out into our communities, heralding the gospel message, heralding your salvation message. You know, the greatest gospel presentation you can give to your lost neighbor or the person at the store or the person you're burdened for is your personal testimony. The Apostle Paul used it all the time. The Apostle Paul did not have good news tracts. He did not have a New Testament, a soul winner's New Testament. He had his parchments, and he had what God did for him. Then he went everywhere, telling everybody, "This is what God did for me. This is what Jesus Christ of Nazareth did for me. He washed away all my sins. He took me from darkness to light. He has now saved me. He's raised up at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to him one day. Do you want to come with?" That's what he did. He went around telling everybody. He was ministering to the people around him. He was sharing truth. He was sharing truth. See, a heavenly vision has a purpose. A heavenly vision has a purpose. You see, the most important thing here, vision, is about knowing where you're going so that you know if you get there. But more importantly, you know when you're off course. You know when you're off course. Has God revealed his purpose for your life? If you're searching for God's will, you can find it right here in the local church, serving God, ministering to others, and sharing the saving news of Jesus Christ to your community. And then God will lead you as you go. Okay, number one, we've seen a heavenly vision to reveal God's purpose for you in this world. And now he wants you to know you know, how to get it done. He wants you to know how to get it done. But number two, I want you to see a heavenly vision exposes your dependence. Verse number 19, back to our original verse. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Are you doing today what you're doing today because you want to do it? Or because God has directed you to it? You know, I've always found that when God is leading me to do something, it doesn't matter what gets in my way, I'm going to get it done. Because I know God sent me. And that's why the Apostle Paul could say, I'm not disobedient. I'm going directly after what God has given to me. I'm focused. I'm pursuing after God's vision for my life, God's purpose for me. Why did He save me? He saved me for this purpose. And that's what a heavenly vision does. When God reveals His plan for your life, He exposes your dependence. A heavenly vision will expose your dependence because it will take you out of your comfort zone. Think of the Apostle Paul. What a great life he had. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was a man renowned by his friends. He was rich. He was all set up. Life was good for the Apostle Paul. Everybody loved him. And then God met with him one day and changed the course of his life. Took him right out of his comfort zone. Took him right out of everything that he knew and plopped him right in the middle of a people who he was persecuting. Wow, think about it. The Apostle Paul suffered at the hand of the world, didn't he? Jesus promised that because the world hated him, that even hated him, Jesus, that the world would hate us too. And it hated the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 11, it says that he was in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, and in deaths oft. The Apostle Paul suffered, but he didn't care. Because he wasn't depending on himself. He wasn't looking for what could satisfy self. He was looking for what could satisfy God. He wasn't dependent on him. He was dependent upon God. And it didn't matter if it was stripes or prison or death. It didn't matter because God was there. God was there. He suffered at the hand of his own people. You know, the Jews hated Paul. When he converted, in Acts chapter 9, it says that they sought to kill him. I don't know about you, but you know, in our family, when you try to talk about the Lord, you know, we don't, you know, they don't want to kill you, but you know, it becomes a very awkward moment when you're around unsaved family members. We've had a few of them at some of our family gatherings, and that's okay. At least we're not getting stoned by our friends. At least we're, you know, what did it say? The Apostle Paul said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. I was thrice beaten with rods and once stoned. That didn't happen at my family gathering, but where the Apostle Paul went and around his friends, that's what happened. And it didn't matter to him, is what I'm saying here tonight. It didn't matter because he didn't care about all that stuff. What he cared about was God's plan for his life. And he was dependent upon God, and it didn't matter what the world said, and it didn't matter what his close friends said or what they did. He could get through those times and those hard moments of life because God was with him. Amen. At every moment, he never left him. A heavenly vision will expose your dependence because it's humanly impossible. Not only will it pull you out of your comfort zone, but a heavenly vision is humanly impossible. When you read this account in here in Acts chapter 26, it talks about that the Lord Jesus Christ sent, I think it's in verse 20, it says, showed unto him first of Damascus and at Jerusalem throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Okay? A little farther up in verse 17, it also says that the Apostle Paul was saved, he says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto now whom I send thee. The Apostle Paul's orders from headquarters, if we could say it this way, his heavenly vision was to reach a people group. They were called the Gentiles. The Lord didn't say just your block, Paul. Just we're going to just reach your block, and then if we get that far, amen. No. He didn't say just you know your neighborhood or just your town. He said I want you to reach Gentiles. I want you to reach the Gentiles. Not just the people that you want to talk to out at the supermarket or down at the market or down at the lake. I want you to reach Gentiles. All of the Gentiles. He said, the Gentiles. This is a human impossibility. But the Apostle Paul gave himself to it. He didn't think of something that this is impossible, Lord. He didn't sit back and argue with God. He said, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. God sent me to reach the Gentiles. Well, then I guess that's what I'm going to have to do. And whatever that takes, God's going to enable me to do it. Because a heavenly vision will expose their dependence because it's humanly impossible. You know, this church is praise the Lord for the souls that we're reaching in McGuanago, but that's not all God wants to do through this church. That's not all He wants to do in your life. You know, it's not about you just reaching your neighbor. It's about you reaching your neighborhood. And then when you're done with your neighborhood, God wants you to reach your town. And then when you're done with your town, God wants you to even go farther. It's humanly impossible, you know, our limitations. But the Lord promises, He says, without me, you can do nothing. He says, without me, you can do nothing. And a lot of us are sitting back doing nothing because we just don't want to be part of what God's doing. You see what I'm saying? Without God, we can do nothing. So a lot of us are content to sit back and do nothing. And the reality is that we don't have God. And therefore, there's nothing getting done. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We usually only claim that when we're, you know, when somebody's sick. But the reality is that the Lord's talking about fulfilling His burden and His plan for your life, His heavenly vision. And He's saying, you can do this. It may be impossible, but you can do it because I can handle anything. I created the world. I can handle anything and I'll be with you. I like 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and the Apostle Paul again talking about his infirmities. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient to thee. This is the Apostle Paul giving testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, the Apostle Paul said, therefore would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Are you weak? Are you weak? And not just any kind of weakness. We're talking about an absolute inability to do something. I've got major issues in my life. I wasn't trained to be a preacher. I'm not the one who's supposed to be standing up here talking to you folks about what God says. I'm not supposed to be. I can't do this kind of thing. I used to watch kids in the public school, you know, have major issues when they get in front of people, and that scared me to death. They would have major problems, very embarrassing moments. Can I just say it that way? And ever since second grade, I'll never be the same when I watch that girl have the most embarrassing moment of her life, and I never wanted to get up and talk to people ever again. And that's what I tell the Lord. I say, Lord, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to do this. But the whole point that the Lord is saying, He's saying, but are you weak? Because when you're weak, when you're utterly unable to do something, I am there to meet you. That's actually when my strength kicks in. You see, because any time in the Christian life when we are living at a point of I can do this, and maybe it's not just all of this, but it's some of this, or it's just a part and we need God to do the other part we can't do, we're not there yet. You see, God doesn't want to help us with the part we can't do. God wants to do all of it. He wants the whole thing. He doesn't want part of your life, sir. He wants the whole thing. He doesn't want the part that you can do on your own, the part you can figure out, and then He'll pick up the scraps. That's not what He wants. He wants your whole life. And when you rest up, when you glory in the reality that you're never going to get it done without God, that's when God's power rests on you. Have you ever seen God's hand rest on you? Oh, man. In the weakest, most vulnerable moments of my life, God was there. In that time in my bedroom when I had nothing, I was nobody. I didn't deserve anything. Oh, God was there. God was there. And His power was resting on me to deliver me for a specific purpose. The heart of a heavenly vision is to remove you from your comfort zone, to put you in a place where the purpose of your life is humanly impossible. If you're only living for yourself, then you're not obedient to a heavenly vision. You're not obedient if you're only living for self. I want us to see third here. A heavenly vision changes the course of your life. A heavenly vision changes the course of your life. Praise the Lord for many of the testimonies here of folks, first-generation families. I love it. I love being around you, your dear people. And I love it. I love when God delivers us out and takes us and sends us forth into a different way of life. I love it. Because there's nothing, you can't explain it. You can't, you just can't explain it. Oh man, this is awesome. I love being a Christian. A heavenly vision changes the course of your life. We won't go to the verses for now, because just for the sake of time. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22, this is Paul's testimony. This is when God converted the apostle Paul. Paul's life changed. I love the contrast in the Apostle Paul's life. If you study his life, it's a wonderful contrast. The first thing that changes is his way of living. Philippians chapter 3, if you've ever read through Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1 and then down through about halfway through the chapter there, we see a great contrast in the Apostle Paul's life. He's talking about who he was to who he is. He's talking about a life when he depended on the flesh. A Pharisee of the Pharisee, you know, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, all these things. He's going down all these human things. But then he says, but those things I counted all those dung that I may win Christ. And he's saying all this flesh dependence meant nothing. It's living by faith now. It's all about God and depending on God. You see, there's a new way of living. And for us, and a heavenly vision, it changes the course of your life. You're no longer living by what you can figure out. It's not about how you can plan your budget and work your schedule and do all these things. I'm learning that, okay? I'm learning that as you get into ministry and as you have to make some decisions and have to downsize life. And now it becomes a new way of living, a way of God dependence. Because all these things, at the end of the day, they don't amount to anything if you can put your hand on them. But if you're over here and you're just like Peter sinking in the water, you're just crying out, God, help! That's where God meets you. It was a new way of living. Confidence in the flesh versus living by faith. Bound by the law versus experiencing the grace of God. Bound by the law. Living by the letter of the law. Doing everything right just to be right with God. And God's saying over here, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm going to undertake for your weakness. You can't get there that way. It's only by me. No more time wasted versus redeeming the time. I love the Apostle Paul. You know, he was wasting time doing all these things, going around persecuting Christians, and now he's redeeming the time. He's out winning people. He's out starting churches. He's out ministering to people. He's out serving the Lord. And you know, where do we sit today? We've got this new way of living, but do we? How many of us sit down and waste time with video games and computer games and internet and Facebook and all these things, and we waste this time and we just can't seem to find an extra hour to go soul winning or an extra hour to spend time in prayer for our families because they really need it and our pastor and our churches and stuff. See, because this new way of living, we just haven't gotten there yet, because we want what God wants to give us and we want to be saved and go to heaven. But you know, when it comes to a heavenly vision, when it talks about changing the course of our life, we're just too dependent on these things. We're just well stuck here and we just don't want to let go. But God's saying that when you get a hold of what I want to do, when you're going forward for me, there's a new way of living. Amen. You don't do what the old man used to do anymore. You prioritize your life and you look at what makes an eternal difference, because our rewards aren't on earth, they're in heaven. And it doesn't matter how much time you spend on the Facebook, that if you're not spending time in prayer, you're in big trouble. If you're not spending time seeking souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, the church is just going to get empty. There's a new way of living, but also there's new friends. The Apostle Paul had new friends. Look at the contrast of the Apostle Paul's life. On one hand, you have the Pharisees, his buddies. Buddies, right? Friends, I call them. I put them in quotes. And then you have, the disciples. What a contrast. You know, I've always said it like this, that if your friend, if you say you have a friend and they are not leading you to the Lord Jesus Christ, then they're not a friend at all. Right. And these Pharisees weren't friends. They weren't friends because they weren't leading him to Jesus. The disciples were. They were encouraging what God was doing in the Apostle Paul's life. They were sending him forth. They were pushing him towards God. They were encouraging him. They were going with him. He had new friends. New friends support the Lord Jesus Christ. They support biblical authority. They do those things. Real friends look you in the eye and tell if you're doing the wrong thing. Real friends will stop you in your tracks and say, hey, bud, you're doing the wrong thing. You need to get right with God. And I'll come with you because I'm your friend. You know, these other guys, they won't do that. They'll encourage you to do the wrong thing. New friends, new way of living, a new message. I love it. Acts 26:18. The Apostle Paul said, this is what I'm supposed to be saying. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The Apostle Paul is saying, one day where I used to tell everybody, you've got to live by the law. You've got to live this ritualistic, traditional life to be right with God, to have this right standing with God. And over here, what he's saying is, I've got this new message that goes beyond the outward conformity and it reaches into the heart of man. And he's saying, it's the message that Jesus saves. Jesus saves, not traditions. Not, you know, today we think of water baptism and church membership and all that stuff, and the Apostle Paul is saying, no, that doesn't do anything for us. We've got a new message as a Christian. I've got a new message that Jesus saves, and he's got an inheritance for us. And it's not for in heaven, it's for today. He wants us to embrace what he has for us today, the blessing of his presence, the strength and power, the things that he wants to do in our life, the transforming work to see in our families that we've been salvaged out of the heap, the junk pile of sin and into this new way of life. And he wants to illumine this new way of living for us. Isn't it wonderful? Think about it. A new course of life, new friends, new way of living, a new message, a new influence. I don't want to embarrass him, but I think of Dr. Jim. He's in my notes, so he's here tonight. I don't want to embarrass him, but the Apostle Paul and Dr. Jim have great parallels in this section right here. The Apostle Paul went out by faith, pioneered new things, and did stuff that nobody else was doing. And along the way, he took men and women with him. And along the way, those people stayed behind, and they caught the vision of what he was doing. And I got Dr. Jim in my notes because I think of Dr. Jim when I think of this. He pioneered something new called Minutemen. And this was now new a long time ago, but it was new. And even still today, he has great influence because of his God dependence, because of a vision that God had given him. And I'll tell you that there's a lot of the guys that come off the road, and even some of the ladies who are called now to youth evangelism because they spent, you know, a semester with Dr. Jim. If you don't believe me, try it. He'll change you. It'll change your life. Because he's got a plan from God. He's got a vision. And it changed the course of his life. And people are, when they get around that and they see somebody who's got a fresh burden and excitement for what God is doing, wow, I want to be a part of that. I want to be in on that. So we're getting in, Dr. Jim. The Webbers are getting in. We're getting in with the Minutemen Ministries. And we're going to pioneer an evangelistic team that goes international. And you pray for us. We're excited to be a part of the Minutemen team. God's used Dr. Jim's burden and his fire for that, and he's put it in our hearts too. And, this is exciting. Who knows where the Lord's going to take you? Not only a new influence on those around you, but a new focus on life. In Acts 14, we see the Apostle Paul goes into Lystra, and he gets stoned. And he gets dragged outside of the city, Acts 14:19 through 20. And he gets stoned, he gets dragged outside the city, and then he gets raised up. And I heard one fellow, Daryl, I think it's Daryl Champlin, talk about Lystra and how they used to stone people at Lystra. It says that they used to take them and they used to put them in like a burlap sack, tie off the sack, and then clip it to a stick. And then they would stone the bag because it was easier on the conscience if you could do it that way. So it didn't hurt your conscience if it was a person. And then they would leave them for dead, and then they would drag them outside of the city and let the dogs and the birds. Okay, and then eat them, and then. But this day, the Apostle Paul, he that didn't happen because God raised him up, and he was so focused on what God was doing in life. He had such a focus that he didn't get up and walk the other direction. He got up and went right back into town. He's like, you can't do that to God. What do you think you're doing? I've got a plan here, and you're not going to discourage that. I don't care what you do. I wonder. God got a plan for your life. Do you have a new focus on life? Do you have a new focus on life? Do you got new friends? You got a new message, a new way of living? Has God revealed his purpose for you? Are you depending on him to see it done? Your Heavenly Father has a vision for you. Dear folks in this church, you individually, it doesn't matter who you are today. It doesn't matter if you're a junior higher and you're still developing your brain and all that stuff. It doesn't matter. you know, or if you're getting older and the opposite problem's going on. It doesn't matter who you are. God's got a plan for all of us. He wants to use all of us. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your infirmities are, sir. God wants to use you. God wants to see you used in this church so you can take this church another 35 years farther than it is today. Greater works can be done through this church. He's got a vision for you because he wants to reveal to you that he's chosen you. You're special. Isn't that wonderful? The God, the creator of the universe, thinks you're special. If nobody in this world thinks you're special, that's okay, because God does. God thinks you're awesome. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he's got this specific purpose for you. It's something wonderful. But don't forsake that for something in this world. Don't do that. He wants to reveal, he has this vision because he wants to reveal to you that you can't accomplish it without him. He wants to do it with you. He wants to go with you. Oh man, he wants to go with you. God wants to go with you. But he wants you to know it's going to drastically change the course of your life. You're going to have to make some decisions. Are you ready to make some decisions tonight? Are you ready to surrender to God's plan for your life? See, it's not about seeing, you know, one or two or three people saved at VBS. Is that next week? It's about seeing 100 kids come and 100 of them leave saved. A heavenly vision, something that's greater. It's about a church getting so on fire for God that everybody goes soul winning, not just the faithful few. Everybody gets out and makes a call. Everybody gets on the phone and calls people who haven't been here for a couple of weeks. It's about everybody getting involved. It's a heavenly vision. It's not about just fulfilling the Great Commission. It's about seeing greater works. It's about seeing this place packed out every time the doors are open. It's all possible. But we all have a part in it. You see, the problem facing most Christians today is that they're living their Christian life by using the rear window to navigate. They're steering their life based on where they've been. They have no idea where they're going, and they can't see the road of life ahead of them. They can't. I wonder today, are you living life based on the vision that God's given you? You're going forward. You're going forward after what God has called you to. You know this purpose God's called you. He's got this purpose for your life, for your family, for your kids. Or are you spending life going like this? Yeah, we had a good time. That was fun. No idea where you're going. It's hard to steer life looking out the back window. So do you want to have God's vision for your life? Have you ever asked him? Young people, have you ever asked him? I'm talking to some of you young guys. It doesn't matter where you're at in life right now. Have you ever asked God for his plan for your life? Maybe some of you young ladies. Maybe some of you older people here today. Maybe you just got saved just a few years ago. And I don't know what your situation is, but you ever ask God what his plan is for your life? Most people don't know God's plan because they've never asked him. They're too scared of getting sent to Africa. Why is that? Africa's cool. I mean, not heat. I mean, it's hot. But if that's where God wants you, that's the safest place to be. Why is everybody scared to go to Africa? That's so weird. Will you come tonight and cast your dependence on him? Would you come? If there's going to be a time of an altar call, would you come tonight and say, God, I know what you want me to do, but I'm trying to get it accomplished in my power, and I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to say, God, I want your power. I want your hand to rest on my life because I'm messing it all up. I want your power and your enabling. Would you come tonight, confess your weakness, your failures, your self-dependence, your sin of self-dependence, and say, God, it's you. I'm claiming your power and your authority. You're sending me in this direction. I'm going to do it. Will you surrender to God tonight? Will you surrender to God's vision to do something humanly impossible through your life? Would you surrender to that? Whatever that means. Maybe he's going to take you out of your home and put you on a plane and send you to Africa. Will you do it? Maybe it's to China. What if he sends you to Iran? Would you do it? Will you forsake the old way of living? Will you forsake the old friends and the old way of life? the old habits that we just hang on to as Christian and Christianize them and step out by faith and have new friends and a new way of life and a new living? Would you do it? Would you do it? Because God got a plan for you tonight. He's got a heavenly vision for you because he loves you and he wants you to enjoy everything that he has for you. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed.